Hello and welcome to Filling the Sink, a podcast from Catalan News. My name's Lorcan Doherty, and today we're talking about COVID-19. In this week's episode, we're looking at the current COVID situation in Catalonia and the slightly broader picture, how things have changed over the course of the pandemic. And we've a really interesting interview with Enric Álvarez from UPC University here in Barcelona. He's part of a team there analysing COVID data from various countries, producing several reports a week on how the pandemic is developing. Now, you might be wondering why our podcast is called Filling the Sink. The name actually comes from a saying in Catalan, de mica en mica s'omple la pica, which means little by little the sink fills up. And hopefully, if you tune in to the podcast every week, then little by little, you'll get to know all about Catalonia. Joining me today are Natasha Morin and Killian Shields.
Hello.
Hey, Lorcan. Good to be here.
Coronavirus is obviously a massive topic. Things can change rapidly, so I should say we're recording this on the 5th of November. How are things looking, Killian, in Catalonia, if we were to take a snapshot today?
Well, we are in the middle of this second wave, I think, as we are in most countries in Europe at the moment. We are seeing pretty high new daily figures. Overall, since the beginning of the pandemic, since the first case was recorded in Catalonia, we've had over 250,000 cases and nearly 15,000 deaths. The Catalan government introduced a few extra measures just a couple of weeks ago, including a curfew. So everybody has to be in their homes by 10 p.m. or else you can get a fine. As well as that, all bars and restaurants are completely shut and capacities are reduced in places like shops and museums. Overall, there's been much less activity on the streets in the cities, in the towns, especially compared to the summer when things were much more open up.
It's not a pretty picture, is it? Natasha, you decided to move to Barcelona just recently. What were you thinking?
Yeah, I mean, I came here just at the end of September when things started getting bad again. In fact, I think one of the first things I did as an intern here was film Killian as he did a report on all the bars shutting. So it's been a little bit strange, I can't lie. But I usually live in England, so I'm feeling quite chuffed right now that I'm not there in total lockdown, to be honest.
Although in the last couple of weeks, you have been locked down yourself.
I have. So I actually have just come out of a 10-day isolation from coming into contact with someone with COVID, which was a little bit unlucky. But today is my birthday.
Oh, happy birthday, Natasha.
Thank you.
Per molts anys.
21, came out of isolation at 4 a.m. today. You know, so far it's been a okay birthday because I've been able to go outside for the first time in a little bit.
Of course. And what differences do you notice between here in Catalonia and in England? Obviously, things have changed in the time you've been here as well.
I think the big difference, obviously, is that in England, you don't have to wear masks out on the street. And also, I think there's a little bit more reticence to masks in general. And here, there's definitely a lot more compliance, masks on the streets. It feels different, but also not that far apart now. I think we're just all catching up to each other in terms of lockdown measures and numbers. And
yeah, and for maybe people listening outside of Catalonia or indeed Spain, we have to say that back in the first lockdown in spring, the rules were actually quite severe here, maybe more so than in other countries.
I think so. For me, the biggest thing was not able to do exercise at all. I mean, it was a very strange situation, having to learn how to do HIIT workouts at home, following various YouTube fitness gurus.
Joe Wicks.
Yes, indeed, the man himself. I think he was one of the biggest stars of 2020, possibly. But I've actually even got a car park in the basement of my apartment block. And I remember just jogging down the stairs there and just doing laps of my maybe 50 meter stretch of the car park that's down there, like just to get a bit of movement, just to get a different scenery than just my apartment.
And Natasha, listening to that, is that very different to how lockdown was for you living in England?
Yeah, I mean, in England, from the start, we were allowed our walks or our periods of exercise. And also, I think it's very different in terms of Barcelona here. The majority of housing is flats, so there's not that much availability for exercise, whereas I lived in a house in England. We had loads of parks around us, so I did my hour walk. I could be outside when I wanted to, and I think that made lockdown a lot more bearable, to be honest. And quickly, like a month in, 2 months in, we were allowed to drive to beauty spots and things like that to go and do exercise. So it was quite easy to change up your scenery.
So not only were the measures different, but also everyone's personal circumstances are different, and the exact same measures can affect people in completely different ways. And of course, one of the main impacts of the pandemic has been huge restrictions on travel. And it means that people living abroad, like the three of us, it makes it much more difficult to see family.
It's been really devastating, to be honest. This is, by some distance, the longest time in my life that I've gone without seeing any of my family. Yeah, it's a very sad situation. I've got three nephews and one niece who are just growing up without me seeing them at all. And yeah, it's quite difficult to see that. But, you know, we all try to get Zoom calls in. We all try to do this kind of thing to keep in touch. But yeah, it's been quite difficult.
Yeah, it's been quite similar for me too, Killian. It's been, by the time Christmas comes around, it'll be a year since I've been home and seen all my family. Listen, we're not unique. This is affecting people all over the world. And, you know, in this modern age, Barcelona and Ireland, they don't seem that far away generally. But now all of a sudden, it just seems like...
That's true.
So far away, you know.
It feels like a world away.
Another thing throughout the pandemic that I'm sure we've all been doing is trying to make sense of all the data that's been coming out. A group of researchers at UPC Barcelona Tech have published now over 150 reports, three a week, that include analysis of the latest figures from European countries and indeed further afield. I spoke to one of those researchers, Enric Álvarez, and started off by asking him how he saw the current situation in Catalonia.
Okay, so at the minute, the situation was improving in a very narrow sense, in the sense that the growth rate of the epidemics was very high, close to 0.4 or 0.5. And since the measures have been taken, you know, now that we have a picture of what happened 1 week after they were taken, we've seen it drop the growth to 1.1, something like that. But it's still not under control, and the incidence is very large. So the problems in the hospitals are going to continue for some days, 1 week, 2 weeks, at least until it improves. So to compare it right now in Catalonia, there's not what it's called a complete lockdown. The measures have been first closing bars, restaurants, universities, big centers, big commercial centers. And now in the last week, it's been around a really sort of soft confinement during the weekend, meaning that during the weekend, you are not allowed to travel outside of your city and everything's closed, but you can walk around. I mean, you can walk around in your city, meet people with masks. Masks always been compulsory here in Catalonia for a long time. So in that sense, it's softer, but more targeted.
Do you think the experience that we've had here in Catalonia is typical compared to maybe other parts of Spain, other parts of Europe? Or if there have been differences here, what do you think those might be?
There's been a very important and key difference in Catalonia compared with other even regions in Spain. The idea was that here in summer, the first increase of cases came way earlier than in any other country. And that produced a general transmission in the country because there was free travel between the different regions. So in a sense, Catalonia was different because it rised in a way together with Spain first in summer and then kept it under control after the first rise. So we really noticed and felt more than others that our system of tracking cases was not ready. While, you know, the numbers that we're receiving and we're seeing in the Netherlands, in France, show exactly the same picture of not being ready, but without having the, let's say, the fact that you have not pre-trained before winter. So now Netherlands, France, Belgium is facing, and other countries are facing, that they really didn't have the system ready, while in Catalan, in Aragon and part of Spain, we realized it in July and June. So there's been some kind of catch up.
And Enric, why has Catalonia been towards the top of the rankings throughout this pandemic in terms of the number of cases and number of people in hospital and things like that?
Well, not any longer. Not any longer. I mean, the situation in Slovakia and Czechia and France and Netherlands is so awful that it's way worse than Catalonia. We are on top, but we are not top anymore, right? The key question is why northern eastern Spain was the first to trigger the cases, and that's a very deep question. But the fact is that after the summer, when really the winter came and, or at least winter type weather and winter type behavior and mobility, then cases rised very strongly in countries that open at the same time, and it dries a little bit later. So Italy is just behind because they kept the measures for longer. And the countries that had a larger system of vigilance, then they are also going a little bit behind.
But is Catalonia's EPG, its outbreak risk, is that not one of the highest in Europe?
I mean, you know, you have, for example, EPG here in Catalonia is around 800, right? The EPG in southern Czechia is around 2,000. Southern East Czechia. It's been very bad in Holland, in the city. I mean, it's 1,000 in Holland, Northern Netherlands, but all the area of the Hollands. Also in a lot of areas in Switzerland, in Slovakia, and in France, and also in the UK. So EPGs around 1,000, which is higher than in Catalonia right now, and because right now we are on a decreasing tendency, so we are not by far the worst right now.
And thank you very much to Enric Álvarez from the Biocom Research Group at UPC University in Barcelona. Well, folks, it's obviously been a really difficult few months. Are there any kind of things that have been helping you get through?
Yes, I think I can answer that straight away. I adopted a dog in July, and coronavirus, as terrible as that has been for the world, was one of the main factors in helping me reach this point. One of the biggest reasons that I always had living in Barcelona to not get a dog was the fact that I would have had to been out of the house for 10 hours or more every day. But because the whole world, and our company as well included, are promoting working from home measures so much at the moment, well, I'm able to be there and care for the dog. And it's one small positive that I can find in this year of drastic gloom otherwise.
And it gives you a few perks. We've got a curfew at night, and we're not allowed out until 6 in the morning, but you can go out at 4 in the morning if you want, Killian, isn't that
fantastic,
right?
Fantastic.
Have you
yes.
been out much between 4 and 6 in the morning walking your dog?
I haven't seen 4 or 6 in the morning in a long time that I haven't been asleep for, so unfortunately no.
And the other thing is, if we do have another lockdown, back in spring when there was a lockdown here, as we said earlier, we couldn't go out for exercise, but people were allowed out to walk their dogs. There was even, I remember there was some videos going around of people dressing their kids up as animals and dogs to go out. And we had one on Catalan News where a guy was out walking his goat. I don't know if you remember that.
I do remember that.
And
yeah.
one of the police was saying, now I'm not sure if a goat is actually a domestic animal and whether that counts as a good enough reason to leave the house.
Oh God, you're right, yeah.
What about you, Natasha? Any little glimmers of hope or anything that's helped you get through the kind of hardest moments?
I can't lie. What got me through lockdown in England was Dolly Parton. I listened to a podcast called Dolly Parton's America, and ever since then I've been listening to her music, been watching interviews. She gets me through the day. It's a good way to get yourself in a positive vibe for the day, so I recommend just a little bit of Dolly Parton.
So there you have it, our Filling the Sink recommendations to get you through the coronavirus pandemic. Get a dog and listen to Dolly Parton. And that's nearly all we've got time for. Before we go, each week we're going to introduce you to a little saying in Catalan. And you've got one for us today, Killian.
I do. Bon vent I barca nova.
What did you say to me? Should I be offended?
Well, that sort of means have a nice life. Goodbye, have a nice life. And it comes with it a negative connotation. It sort of means good riddance, I hope to never see you again.
Literally, bon vent I barca nova, it's good wind and new boat.
Exactly.
So it's kind of like have a good journey, but it's, I suppose, yeah, as you said, have a nice life.
Yeah.
On the surface, that sounds perfectly pleasant, but that's not what it means at all.
No. It means I only want to see the back of you, and then that's it. We go our separate ways.
And that's all from us on Filling the Sink for today. Thanks very much to Enric Álvarez from UPC. Thanks to Natasha and Killian.
No problem at all.
No problem.
Thank you, Lorcan, for having us.
Thanks to our listeners, of course, as well, for tuning in. And next week we'll be back with a podcast on mushrooms, which are a very, very big deal here in Catalonia, so do tune in for that. Until then, from me, Lorcan Doherty, and all of us here at Catalan News, take care. Adieu.